Hello everyone, and welcome to Kings of Fantasy Football. I am your co-host Pablo, and here is my co-host.
Leo.
And today we are going to discuss our NFL draft reaction. So, for those of you that were not aware, last night was the first round of the NFL draft. It was held in Detroit this year. So today again we are going to focus on our reaction of that, and this is more from a fantasy football perspective. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. So after months of speculation and mock drafts, Caleb Williams went number one overall pick, and man, thing I gotta say is that Bears offense with him is looking pretty good. I think hands down he is favored for Offensive Rookie of the Year. We talked about it last week. He has a lot of good weapons. They drafted some good weapons. So what are your thoughts, Leo?
Yeah, him going the first pick was like the worst kept secret of the last 10 years, you know. Yeah, no, he lands in an amazing spot, you know. Like you mentioned, last week that we talked about, you know, he has DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, even later on. You know, for added measure, let's on the ninth pick, they picked up Romy Odunez, another talented receiver from Washington. So they're really stacked. You know, he has no excuses, unless, you know, obviously he gets hurt. But like the stage is set for him to have an amazing year. It's gonna be interesting how high he's gonna go in terms of you know, not only in dynasty. Obviously, dynasty will be top, you know. Top few picks, but even in redraft, he's got to probably be within the first 12 quarterbacks easily taken and redraft for sure.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking that, man, you know, if the guys that I want to draft this year are gone, and I see Caleb Williams there in the later round, I mean, I don't think he's a bad pick at all. Again, considering the offensive weapons he has. And we kind of alluded to this last week. I mean, he's going to try and duplicate what CJ did last year, and I think he has the tools, like you said. The Bears gave him the tools. You know, they have him in a good position to succeed. So let's see if it works out. And like you mentioned, they paired him up with one of the top wide receivers that was available this year, with Odunze. So if he works out as well, then you know, Caleb Williams should have a good year. So these next few quarterbacks, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know if they're gonna have the same impact just because of well, where they landed. But you get drafted two, you get drafted three overall in the NFL draft, and it's because that organization has faith in you. So number two is Jaden Daniels. He's coming from LSU. Commanders have a new head coach in Dan Quinn, who was in Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. So you have Jaden Daniels again, who is going to go through the Commanders. I think that he probably won't get drafted as high as Caleb Williams fantasy wise, but you know, maybe in your dynasty league, like you're mentioning, him along with Caleb will go in the higher rounds. But let's talk about his situation. So, receivers, offensive weapons, not the same caliber as the Bears. But you have some young receivers, some young receiving core. What do you think Jaden Daniels will look like next year?
Yeah, they definitely, he doesn't have the same weapons that Caleb is falling into with the Bears, but you know, he still has a a couple, weapons to throw to. He has Terry McLaurin that, you know, whenever he's healthy, he's pretty solid for sure. Then we have we have Jahan Dotson that when he that he had a what do you call this? Even though he disappeared for a little bit, you know, in the middle of the year last year, because he got injured, but he came back and was solid, and he was a very hot pickup during the year. So I'm sure they're gonna probably draft a couple more players to help him. But what I do like about Daniels is that he runs the ball as well. So that's gonna help him. Once he goes behind center, he's gonna make some plays with his legs, and that should help him, get some extra fantasy points there for you. I don't think he's gonna be, you can count on him like in a single quarterback league. You're gonna have to, only I would probably draft him if you're in a super flex league or two quarterback league. He's definitely not someone that I could, at least initially, count on him on a week to week basis. He might be a backup. Watch him, as he progresses during the year. But obviously in two quarterback leagues and super flex, he'll get drafted, sometime, in the second half of the quarterbacks that are taken. So, yeah, we'll see how fast he gets acclimated with the offense. But definitely not Caleb Williams' wheelhouse like he will be this year.
So you bring up a good point. The fantasy points that may go into his favor is his rushing guard, and if he has any rushing touchdowns, if he can break those long games with his legs. So moving on to number three overall was Drake McKinnon, quarterback from North Carolina. He ended up with the Patriots. So in New England, the wide receiver room, you have Kendrick Bourne, you have KJ Osborne on the roster. There was speculation before the draft, that they may be shopping the number three pick, but turns out that that was not true, and they ended up drafting Drake May. Compared to the Commanders wide receivers and the Bears, I would say Bears obviously won, and the Commanders have a better wide receiver room to me than the Patriots with Bourne and KJ Osborne. What are your thoughts, Leo?
So Drake May, definitely, out of the three so far, he definitely has hardly any weapons to throw to. He needs some work, not some work, but he just needs some weapons. They need to give him some weapons to be able to succeed. That's the bottom line. Until then, obviously in Dynasty he'll get drafted, but in a redraft no one will pick him up unless he starts progressing and showing something during the year. I would just leave him there. I wouldn't think about drafting him in a single quarterback league at all. It's just he has no weapons, so yeah, that's the bottom line. Is yeah.
Out of the three, he has the toughest road ahead of him. I mean, the Patriots are expecting him to be, unfortunately, they're always going to compare, the next Tom Brady in New England, but that's a really tough task. Like you mentioned, one QB lead, I would say, Williams and Daniels getting drafted, but Drake May, unless they give him a lot more help and shows, flashes, then, on the waiver wire. But our next pick, I think, Definitely it's going to be very enticing to a lot of fantasy owners this year. Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State wide receiver, ended up with the Cardinals. That wide receiver room, even though he is a rookie, he may end up as the true wide receiver one. And because of that, again, I think that he's going to end up a pretty high draft pick, not only in Dynasty, of course, but I think even in redraft. I think in redraft, PPR league, if he is going to be getting a ton of targets, a ton of receptions, he can be a true wide receiver one. What are your thoughts, Leo?
Oh, no, without a doubt. he's probably going to be one of the, out of all the rookies that have been drafted, he's going to be the first rookie off the board for sure. I could see him being drafted as early as the third round, to be honest with you. After those first like eight to ten receivers are taken, and those few running backs, he's got the upside. You know, he has the pedigree. You know who's his dad, and obviously his dad's a Hall of Famer. But he himself proved in the over the last couple of seasons at Ohio State that he's a stud. And those other receivers that are there, you know, they're not gonna be able to touch the amount of targets that he's gonna get from Kyler Murray. It also raises Kyler Murray's value as well. You know, now that he actually has a stud receiver to throw to again after DeAndre left, Hopkins left. So he's definitely gonna be both of them gonna be on the rise. I would say that if you can try pair both of them together. Like in drafts, it'll be a nice little combo, a nice little stack to get. Kyler Murray with Harrison might be, you might be able to do some damage with those two. And before I continue, in terms of one last thing with your boy Drake May, I did hear from a team name that from Dave Richards from CBS that I just had to laugh and I wanted to share that with you. That a good team name. It's gonna be May, So that's just a funny team name that I heard earlier today. But what do you think about Marvin Harrison? Does he make your toes tingle?
So after watching the draft last night and seeing the reactions, his frame, 6'3", 210, but I was surprised with his speed. I thought he was going to be more of a physical, jump ball type of receiver. But after seeing what his 40 time was, and he was like, 4.45, he still has that speed. Like you said, I think, after the big wide receiver names get drafted, if he's there, I don't see any reason not to pull the trigger and get him, if he's there. Because if you pass up on him for someone, who's been in the league, just because you're scared of, a rookie wide receiver, number four overall pick, they were mentioning this term a lot last time in the draft. It's a plug and play. You draft him that high, you're going to play him, start of the season. So definitely if I was in the Dynasty League, I would probably, get him. If I had the first pick, I wouldn't mind getting him with the first pick. So I think he's going to be really, really good. Next pick we won't talk about, but it was the offensive lineman going to the Chargers, which I honestly thought was a little surprising because the next pick that I thought, or the next pick that actually was drafted was Malik Nabers. But as for him at LSU, I thought he would end up with the Chargers. I'm not saying that, any disrespect to offensive linemen. They're key parts of NFL teams. But, Harbaugh coming into San Diego and Herbert losing wide receivers, I thought it was going to be a no-brainer for the Chargers to go in this direction. So, doesn't mean that the Giants won't benefit. I mean, the Giants wide receiver room, Hyatt was showing some explosiveness last year. You have Wandale Robinson, and now you have Malik Nabers. Unless those two prove that they're going to be better than Nabers, I mean, I think he's going to receiver one in that locker room. What do you think?
Yeah, no, the talent's there for Malik Nabers. He's, you know, head and shoulders over, more talented than the guys that are already there. The one receiver, you know, that I do like, you know, was Jali Hyatt, that he's, you know, he showed some flashes last year, and even Wandale Robinson, that he's, you know, he has these amazing games, and then he'll get hurt. So they're just, you know, they're just smaller, you know, smaller receivers, you know. So Malik will probably, you know, come in and be the target monster here again. The one thing that the probably the biggest question here is the quarterback situation. You know, Daniel Jones is coming back from an injury. We'll see if he can, you know, get be healthy enough to start the season. You know, that's a big, you know, big situation, you know, probably the most important situation there for the Giants this season. They did bring in Drew Lock over the off season. You know, what can we say about Drew Lock? Not much, exactly. So it's just a matter, you know, of Daniel Jones. If he's healthy, you know, that's going to help Malik Nabers produce. If not, you know, you might have to temper his what he might do this year, because, you know, if he's not getting the ball with quality, you know, looks or whatever targets, it might be tough for him to produce. So obviously Harrison, you know, we talked about he's gonna be earlier drafted. Nabers, I could see him probably being drafted probably like in the sixth round or so, or later sixth, seventh round. You know, just because of the quarterback situation, it's not appeasing at this time.
So I agree. I think the quarterback has a lot to do with the receiver. Twitter commotion last night, a lot of analysts reacting initially. Now, analysts who kind of, you know, flipped on it and did like a reevaluation, but I'm just gonna do an initial and then maybe we can do a more thought out. But it was Michael Penix Jr. being drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, who just gave $180 million contract to Kirk Cousins with $100 million guaranteed. Again, initial reactions, I was shocked. I was scratching my head, along with, you know, all the analysts last night. Initial reactions, Leo?
Yeah, I was scratching my head, shaking my head, nodding my head. I was like, what's going on here, you know? Michael Penix, you know, he's a great talent, but like you said, they just spent $180 million on Kirk Cousins. You know, I understand, you know, maybe, you know, they're looking to the future. Kirk Cousins is coming back from, you know, an injury from last year. This is an insurance policy if he has any setbacks. But you know, if you're paying him $180 million, you gotta assume that, you know, he's gonna be playing very sooner rather than later. So, yeah. Well, what can we say? Is just for in Dynasty, you know, sure, he's gonna get drafted, of course. But in redraft, you know, not even initially in Superflex, or unless it's like a deep Superflex, or in two quarterback leagues, you know, will he get drafted? So, but like I said, he is talented. You know, if he does happen to play, you know, he proved, you know, he was a finalist, you know, for the Heisman and all that. And, he's a baller, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So
that is the sentiment, I guess, this morning is, for at least again some analysts, Kirk has had a very serious injury. It's the same injury that Rodgers torn Achilles. We don't know what it's going to look like. Obviously, everyone is expecting him to be the starter because of that contract. But if he's not the same, or God forbid, he has another injury, maybe not that serious, then, you know, they have Pennant. But the worst case scenario for the Atlanta Falcons is, let's say Kirk Cousins gets hurt, and then they do put in Pennant, and then Pennant is, like you said, the baller that he was. What do you do with Kirk?
You're gonna need that contract.
That's gonna be a huge.
They're gonna feel like the Broncos are paying $32 million to Russell Wilson, getting him out of there. So.
The manager last night, and they asked him essentially why that, you know, they're planning for the future. Now, The other worst case scenario is, are you really going to have Pennix sit down for 4 years? If Kirk Cousins plays his entire contract, that means he would be 28 years old as a starting QB. But again, this was just initial reactions, and then, you know, maybe some more thought out from analysts this morning. But the next guy that we already talked about was Odunze. You know, he really, really good pairing with Williams. So I think, honestly, Bears had a really good draft night last night.
Yes.
But the next guy, some analysts have been saying that the Vikings kind of got scared of making the trade to move up because of the quarterbacks that were getting drafted. But I honestly think just because of the year he had last year, I mean, he got a championship. That's not easy to do in college football. And he ends up with the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings have currently Justin Jefferson. You know, who knows if he'll be there long term. They also have a good second-year wide receiver in Jordan Addison. Hawkinson, if he comes back from his injury, good weapon for J.J. McCarthy. I would hope that if they're drafting him, you know, that high top 10 is, I mean, maybe not to start day one, but maybe sit a few games and then start. But what do you think of
I think that was a great move on their part. You know, the where they were sitting at, they were at 11, and they just basically switched places with the Jets because there was rumors that the Raiders were trying to jump over Denver and Minnesota to get to that 10th spot, and you know, the Raiders were the ones that got left holding the bag. They, you know, all the quarterbacks got taken before they had. So now, you know, they're stuck with Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. But we'll talk about that later. But in terms of J.J. McCarthy, you know, I think it's a great move for Minnesota. They only had really Sam Darnold in the, you know, there as a quarterback. To be honest, that's reliable. He went to San Francisco last year with Kyle Shanahan, and then I'm sure that helped him improve his game a little bit. So, you know, this first year they'll battle it out to see who's gonna be the starter. Probably McCarthy might end up, you know, pulling it out. I would say, I think Justin Jefferson did want McCarthy, the Vikings to get McCarthy. So, he should be a happy camper now, and he just wants to get paid now. But I think, you know, I think it's a good move for the Vikings and for Addison, and with Jefferson, they have a quarterback of the future, hopefully, and now we'll see. I'm excited about that move for them. You know, I think it's a good move for sure.
Let's talk about these next two picks, and then we're going to throw in the sleepers in the last half of the draft. The thing that was really surprising to me was the fact that Denver did not try to trade up to get their franchise quarterback. I mean, I've not seen a quarterback room like the one Denver has. A lot of people were saying, you know, analysts who do this for a living, that they have not seen a quarterback room like the Broncos have. They got Bo Nix. Again, experts who do this for a living were saying that they overpaid, or, you know, he was not the best available player. Some thought that Nix was going to be a second rounder, but again, all the QBs that went before him, it could be a gamble for the Broncos, but again, if you're drafting QB that high, because you believe in him, what are your thoughts?
This is what you call a desperation pick by the Broncos. I agree. Bo Nix was someone that, like you said, was going to probably be drafted, if anything, maybe late first round or for sure in the second round, but to get him this high. You know, they were another team where they got caught with their pants down, that they couldn't move up. And, you know, Minnesota was the one that, you know, got the real most last viable quarterback on the board. They have you know, Bo Nix to me is a project. But, you know, he has the only quarterback that he has, going up against is going to be Zach Wilson. You know, that he's going to probably be more cougar hunting than focusing on a quarterback. So, we'll see what happens over there. But, you know, I don't know. It doesn't really help the receivers there. You know, initially to me, you know, he does have potential, but I would pass on Bo Nix for now, for me, you know. What are your thoughts?
totally agree. The next pick, again, a lot of experts were wondering why they drafted Brock Bowers in Las Vegas. They had a decent tight end already. I know some fantasy managers that have Raiders tight end might be a little upset, but they went Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia, and I'm getting a lot of experts saying that they had a lot of other needs in Las Vegas. But if you look at that Raiders offense now, I mean, you have Davante Adams, you have Kobe Myers, you have two tight ends now that you kind of, you know, put in there, running back. So, again, a lot of experts were saying they had other needs at that pick. What do you think?
Yeah, they basically went for the best player available, which was Brock Bowers were, you know, at that time, you know, in terms of offensive skilled players. They needed a quarterback, and, you know, they couldn't make the moves together. So they, you know, obviously this move hurts Michael Mayers that he was there. He showed some flashes there with the Raiders, but, you know, not now they have Bowers there. So they could do two tight end sets. Davante Adams is there. Jacoby Myers is there. So, you know, they have some weapons now. You know, it's another person to throw to for Minshew to throw to. So the good thing is that Minshew, he's a gunslinger. So, Bowers, I think, is gonna, you know, he's gonna produce as well, you know, with those other guys, with Adams and Jacoby. So I would definitely think about definitely drafting Bowers if I you know, miss out those top tight ends. I would still draft Bowers in a redraft. I would. He's talented. He's very talented tight end. So it would have been nice, you know, if you didn't have Myers there, but you know, maybe they could use the Myers as a trading chip or something, and you know, pick to help get him a quarterback or some picks. But you know, I would still go with Bowers over Mayer for sure. He's a stud.
I agree. Bowers has a lot more upside. Now, before we end, let's just do one sleeper, meaning, you know, wasn't drafted high as a field position. And I'm going to go with, and I don't understand how they were able to pick this player. I think especially for who they traded with to get this player, to me was the, like, just, I was completely surprised when I woke up this morning. Is how are the Bills going to trade their pick to one of your rivals that you've been competing with, and then the Chiefs end up getting Xavier Worthy? Like, I think that is going to be a huge, huge win for them. You know, they don't have Kelsey. I know, I understand that, you know, Rice is dealing with some legal trouble, so if that happens, I mean, you have Worthy, who can come in really fast, good hands. I mean, again, I think that was a slam dunk. Who's your slam dunk? Unless you have the same one.
Oh, yeah, he's the obvious one, right? I wanted to go first. I want to pick Xavier Worthy. Nah, it's like if Kansas City used the Jedi mind trick to the Bills. Hey, you're gonna trade me your pick, and you're gonna like it. And then they steal a Tyreek Hill esque kind of player that's had a 4.21 40 breaking the record in the NFL Combine. It's like, the rich get richer, man. That's all, you know. That's all we can say. He's definitely one of the steals for the draft. You know, all the other guys that were drafted in the first round. One guy that I do want to say as well is Brian Thomas Jr. That he got drafted by the Jaguars. I'm not a big Gabe Davis fan. To me, he's an overpriced. Decoy. That's what I mean. You know, he'll run, take the safeties with him, whatever, and clear out the area. Because to me, I've never really been a fan of his. To me, he's too inconsistent. I've never really even drafted him. To start, I can never count on. You know, you never know when he's gonna have his 200-yard game, and then he'll have a dud. You know, for 3, 4, 5 games in a row. So to me, he's inconsistent. But I think, you know, with Trevor Lawrence, it gives him another weapon to go along with Christian Kirk. So I do like Brian Thomas. He's you know, he was Malik Nabers' teammate in LSU, and you know, he's very talented. And I do like him as I don't want to say much, you know, much of a sleeper in terms of dynasty, but yeah, and the again, redraft, yeah. He's definitely one to get for sure.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. Hope you guys liked our post NFL draft reaction. If you do want to listen to us, again, we're on all the major podcast platforms, and we are just got added to YouTube. Podcasts, so we're on YouTube Podcasts, we're on Amazon, we're on Podbean, Apple Podcast. If you have any questions, you can reach me on X, at ArchReaper, so ArchReaper. Leo, where can they reach you?
Yeah, if you have any questions on fantasy or want to further discuss this, we'll be more than happy to. You can reach me on X at smooth1074. On TikTok, I actually started doing some videos on TikTok. A couple of players that I'm been doing for at news desk for at Player Profiler. So you want to check that out? It's at FFLeoG, and you know that's where you can find some of my content. I'm also having some articles coming up soon at the Fighting Chance Fantasy. So thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, please give us some rankings there and a follow. Helps the show. And thanks for listening.
Thank you, everyone.